Impact
What
Advocate.
did I just call
Yeah.
TNA? Oh, God.
Like, you started this brain disease
Oh.
last week.
No, you know why? Because the Impact Wrestling they were showing was old TNA
Oh.
in the logo swoop through. Now it's actually on the
Okay.
Impact Wrestling.
Okay, yeah.
So.
One of their many look back segments during their show.
No, this is actually. All right, this is Impact Wrestling. This is Rebellion, which is their pay-per-view. The other one
Okay.
was Impact in 60. So.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, but this. So this is all for the pay-per-view that's winner takes all, Rich Swann and Kenny Omega. And I'm
Oh.
like, there's no chance in shit Omega's losing to Rich Swann.
Oh.
Like,
Yeah.
and if you watched AEW, you'd have no idea this was even going on.
No. I'm not surprised that's what ended up happening. Like, that was just like, it never felt like a deal that made any sense to me, really.
No.
I
Did and maybe I missed it. Did any Impact wrestlers show up on AEW?
other than the Good Brothers, no.
Okay. Honestly, I associate them more with AEW now than I do Impact.
Oh.
You know, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I see them on the most.
Yeah, oh, yes.
I Oh, and I didn't even think about this because it's one that I know at least is getting a TV deal. MLW, I believe, is on Vice now.
Yeah, Vice TV they're moving to, so that's pretty cool. I mean, I've kind of gotten off the path of watching them just because there's so much, like we always talk about. But yeah, I saw that and I was like, cool, good for them. I mean, it's TV, it's
Yeah.
cable and not YouTube, so.
It's a station that even I have, which is always a. I feel like, wow, the price is low because the stations are limited, and I'm fine with it because it gives me the stations that I still really want to
Yeah.
watch. So it works for me. And Vice actually is one of them, you know? Like, yeah, I might end up watching MLW more. I'm not sure that I could still have the time for a whole lot of extra wrestling, to be honest with you. So, you know,
Well, they, I mean,
we'll
they got their
see.
problems. Like, one of the reasons I stopped watching was they would have good matches. They treat 3/4 of the show like real wrestling. And then I think I mentioned this before, they've got this dumbass Contra unit that's like some
No.
foreign terrorist organization. And they've all right, so how they explained how they weren't taping during the pandemic was Contra somehow hacked into all the MLW servers, whatever else, blah blah blah, and MLW couldn't get a show on the air. Okay, I mean, at least they're trying something. But,
Oh, yeah.
yeah, you know, but that,
Yeah.
but, this is the same people who are like threatening to set people on fire in the ring. They just attack everybody, they kidnap people, and you're like, what about the other 3/4 of the show that's based in reality? Like, it doesn't mesh. It doesn't make any sense. And it's like their
Yeah.
champion, their Jacob Fatu is awesome. I was
Oh.
dumbfounded he stayed in MLW, but he probably doesn't want to go to WWE and be just another Samoan guy. So.
Well, I mean, thankfully they have gotten over that part.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out when the Usos are getting back to, excuse me, getting back together.
Oh. Yeah, that one seems like it should be like I keep on feeling like it's like, oh yeah, it's like gotta be time now, right?
I mean, it's
Am
been over a year, right?
I think so.
And so, like, what I thought was going to happen at the end of Mania, was, you know, Jay got kicked out, or got taken out, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
I was expecting whoever, like, the attacker at the end, I thought it was going to be Jimmy.
Oh.
And they'd be like, right. Oh, my God. And then you got the Usos reunite behind, like, what they used to call them, the Bloodline? Or something like that, way back?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so that's what I keep expecting this to turn into.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, but it didn't happen. I was like, oh, all right. And then again, Jey Uso's in the main event of SmackDown. Like, holy God.
Main event Jey Uso, baby.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great way to keep Roman Reigns' in-ring appearances to a minimum.
Right. You're exactly right.
Yep. You know, that really, to me, it does. He does what they're expecting, but it would help to. I mean, it would be even funnier if Jimmy was back, so they even take the tag team matches, so that Roman Reigns doesn't even wrestle those matches.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of dig the idea of the champion not wrestling all the time.
Oh,
you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, they don't need to be like Drew or even Bobby Lashley has probably had more title defenses since he won the championship than Roman Reigns has had since he came back. Period.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, that's, yeah, hey, if you can get away with it, that's some good booking.
Yeah, and it keeps you healthy, it keeps you fresh too. I mean, not that they're going through like honestly a real strenuous time right now, you know, like travel and all that.
But yeah, still.
I don't know. I'm guessing we're recording.
Oh yeah, this is Kevin DeFrango. That's Jeremy Mays. This is Stunt Granny Audio 652.
Hey guys, how are you? How's your Tuesday evening, Wednesday going? You recover from Raw yet?
Happy 420, everybody.
Shut up.
Raw did happen yesterday, but we were really just talking about the SmackDown crew.
Yeah,
with the Usos and the Mr. Reigns.
Yeah, I don't know. I like the direction SmackDown takes and stuff. You know, like Roman Reigns is getting booed as a heel finally. So,
oh yes,
cool. Like don't have him on TV all the time. When you do, just have him in the small parts. It works.
Yeah.
But I didn't catch a lot of SmackDown. Let's put it this way. But like I think I texted you. And I was not drinking. Actually, I was being dead serious. I just remembered. I cannot stand the fact that Cesaro does his swing. He's not even a full rotation through, and they're already counting the second number.
Oh.
On the first swing. He gets the first one, and they're like, two! Like, no, that's not how this works.
Yeah, he's at like three quarters of a swing, and they count it, and it's just like, guys, I have eyes. Like, I don't understand why you think I don't have eyes, me or the rest of the viewing audience. Like, do they think that we're just watching it in Braille? Just questions here. That's all I got, is questions. So,
man, I got so many questions about anything WWE related, man.
Yeah, this has not been... Typically, there's continued to be good writing after WrestleMania. That has certainly not... overall, that has not been the case. There are definitely some highlights that you can find, like the Roman Reigns stuff, but there's a lot of weird stuff out there.
Yeah, and again, I did not see much of SmackDown, but I saw that they had a rematch with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. And I think Sami got disqualified or something. I don't remember. I don't know. I can't remember. But it's like, why the hell is that match on SmackDown when it should be, if they're going to have a rematch at WrestleMania Backlash? Because isn't that what it's supposed to be? Rematches from WrestleMania? I'm guessing, but with like bigger stipulations or something?
Yeah. I would imagine that's what we're in store for. Especially, yeah. Like, it is really strange that they're putting WrestleMania on another event.
I thought that was a weird choice, too.
I don't think it's something that we've talked about on the show one way or the other. And it's just like, why are you doing that to a clearly inferior show?
Well, but also, doesn't it kind of scream repeat? Which I know none of this matters because no one really buys pay-per-views outside of WrestleMania or the big ones.
Oh, right.
So I guess it doesn't really matter, but it's like, why would I spend the money, time, whatever, to watch WrestleMania Backlash knowing it's just a bunch of goddamn repeat matches? You know? Like,
oh, right. Oh,
why would these be different? And the weirdest one is still Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley again, because I know McIntyre has a built-in excuse. He took his eye off the prize, blah, blah, blah. But he lost pretty decisively, though, you know?
Yes.
So, yeah.
I thought you had something more there.
No, because it speaks to a bigger problem, and I'm going to try not to rant, but this is all this is going to be, because I told you, I don't like Raw. I've only been watching it the last couple times, because WrestleMania, and then I knew we were going to do a show, so I was like, all right, you know what, let's hunker down and watch the show. Raw fucking sucks, and it is depressing to see what that show is. Did you watch the A&E documentary on Steve Austin Sunday?
No, I did not.
Okay, pretty good.
Yeah,
I think
it seemed pretty well received.
Yeah, and there's a lot in there that I thought could have been fleshed out more, but it's not a series. It's just a 2-hour documentary with commercials, an hour and a half, whatever. Right.
Right. Yeah, you can only put so much in an hour and a half.
Yeah, but you see, like, Jim Ross is in it. Bruce Pritchard, Vince McMahon's actually in it, and Austin obviously, and some other guys, and they're talking about the business of wrestling, and they started talking about, you know, here's the Steve Austin thing, and it just kind of took on a life of its own because he cut his own promo. Wow, what a novel idea now. But of course, you know, it got glossed over just like it did. It doesn't other lore. Like, everyone kept talking about how great it was. Well, remember, he was off TV after that. They were pissed off about that promo. So, but anyways, you go in and you see how things. You see, like, they didn't talk about booking in general, but they were talking about how things went, and they mentioned The Rock, and they said, "All right, so what we did was." Austin was very deliberate in his own booking, his own writing, whatever, so that he was always like, okay, who's next? Or okay, who am I facing? Okay, who are we building up? And they're like, all right, so basically what Bruce Pritchard explains, what you do is you get somebody and you just have them beat everybody for a few months. I think he said 6 months. Uh-huh. And then you feed him to the champion and see what happens. And I went, you're the goddamn writer of the show right now. That doesn't happen. And I know it's not his final say, or I think he's just a creative director, which they didn't have back then, by the way. That was Vince. Vince Russo, whatever. But it's like everything they're talking about. And then Austin, they were talking about the Brock Lesnar thing and why he left. And he goes, the things that drive are cash and creative. He goes, I'll let anybody beat me as long as it makes sense, as long as the character works there, and as long as it makes us money. And everything he says is absolutely right. And then you look at the horseshit they give us, and you go, they don't know what they're doing anymore. It is clear as day. There is no vision. there's no progress, like progress of anything. There's no plot details. There's no long-term anything. And I think that's why I'm so annoyed with it this week. Besides, it was just a bad show. But...
Yeah, it was bad when one of the better points of the show was the fact that there were a slew of clean wins, which does not happen terribly often on Raw. That was one of those things that it's just like, oh, this is kind of weird. It's good. I don't know if it's, like you said, like, the rest of the writing is so all over the place. It's just like, how can I have faith that this stuff is going to translate, since this has been it's not been good for a while.
No, it hasn't. It has not been good. I'd say almost over a year and a half. But as much as I thought the Heyman stuff, when he was writing it, I'm like, oh my God, it's the same goddamn people doing the same thing every week. At least there was a point that was going on. At least things were building to something. Like, as goofy as that Rey Mysterio, Seth Rollins stuff was, it was goofy. But it played out. There was a clear idea of what was going on.
Yeah.
The stuff with Angel Garza and Andrade. All of that had a clear plan of what was going on. And by the way, these people still are in WWE except for Andrade. They just don't get used anymore. And then you had Humberto Carrillo. He shows up again this week. So like all the people that they got you to start investing in when the ratings went down are now back as nobodies or gone or just wherever Aleister Black is. You know?
In the abyss. So
they said they supposedly made vignettes for him for his return.
I did hear rumor of that. But I will mention that I did not see any of those vignettes on Raw this week. If they're coming, they did not come on Raw. We'll see if they come on SmackDown this coming week.
Well, yeah, he was on SmackDown, wasn't he?
I feel like he might have been a SmackDown guy.
Yeah, because in the draft, he faced Kevin Owens and lost. Because, you know, you're moving to SmackDown, so you have to lose on the way out, which is hilariously stupid. You see how dull that show is. And there's plenty to hate on this show, which is actually speaks to a bigger problem with them. But the show is dull. It is almost impossible to keep your eyes on the screen now. That the camera work, and I know it's a complaint every week, it's getting worse. It's as if they read, like they've got someone reading Reddit, Twitter, Facebook, whatever, and like, oh, they don't like the camera cuts? We'll show them how not to like camera cuts. It's abysmal.
I must have PTSD. It just because like it's so bad consistently that I think I stopped paying attention.
I don't have motion sickness. I watch that show and I'm like, oh my God. Like a simple punch. Someone gets mounted and punched for the 10, right? It's supposedly 10 seconds, 10 punches. You have 100 camera cuts. And it's like people made fun of Taken 3, I believe it was, when they showed 4 or 5 different angles of Liam Neeson jumping a fence. Because the guy was like 60 years old, you know, not that quick. And it's like these people aren't Liam Neeson, though. They're all in really good shape. They can do a whole bunch of cool shit. But no, it's infuriating to watch just how bad it is. Like, I don't even know where to start, because there's like three different things. And one is the women's tag match, which, what did you say? That was the 14th time that match has been on TV or something?
Oh, yeah. Someone, I want to say that Sean Ross Sapp tweeted out that that was the 14th match between Naomi and Lana taking on Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. And I'm like, I guess I'm not surprised. Like, that's the part that was the worst, is that I'm like, yeah, these two teams have had a lot of matches between each other. Like, and I'm not sure that it was necessary for them to have that many matches against each other. You know, like,
four seems fine.
I like three out of the four of them. I still am scratching my head at why Lana continues to get into these situations. Like, I think she's improved, but I don't even understand why she's in a tag team match at this point.
I'm with you.
She is not a complete train wreck anymore, but and we've talked about it kind of endlessly. The women that are really good are really good. And it's just like, you've got to be able to wrestle at the end of the day. And all the four horsewomen can, and there are probably about 20 women in NXT that can wrestle that well, too. It's just like, it's really weird to me that they invest that much time in Lana when they have that many capable bodies around.
And not including the people that just got rid of.
Yes. Yeah, she has definitely had more sustained in-ring time than the Iconics did.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, if they, like, yeah, it's like one of those ones where it's just like, well, why is she getting this much leash? Like, I'm so confused. Like,
I guess because she signed her 5-year deal or whatever, and her husband left. And they just kept beating her up every week, and they said, oh, we'll just keep her on TV now. Like, it's, I don't know. It's like, I don't. It's a matter of she's trying, and you can definitely see the efforts there. But
sometimes,
like, you and I can keep trying. We're not cut out to be wrestlers.
Oh, right. Not,
you know. But
yeah.
But then they have Dana Brooke, another one. Okay, how aren't you better by now? I mean, I guess repetitions aren't there. Mandy Rose isn't all that good in the ring either. Which.
I thought that she was good for a while, but she really, like, when they've given her some time recently, she has struggled.
Yeah. And ever since, and she used to be a powerhouse. Remember, it was, what was it, Fire and Ice, right?
Yeah, Fire and Desire.
That's it, thank you. And she was the desire part, but they always made mention about how strong she was, how powerful she was, whatever else, right? And she is, or was, because, I mean, this isn't a criticism, but it doesn't look like she's carrying the same muscle mass she used to.
Yeah, a couple of the women seem to have leaned out a little bit.
Yeah. Charlotte, for sure.
Charlotte's in that category. I do agree with you. Like, I feel like Mandy Rose has slimmed down a little bit, and it's changed her offense a little bit.
Yeah, because that was the thing. She was the power one, and Sonya Deville was the fighter.
Yeah.
So they break them up, which I guess we talked about last time, but it. I always thought there was going to be some redemption thing to where, I'd be dead serious, to where Sonya would come out and help her and be like, hey, hang on. And they'd figure it out. And maybe that'll still come. But I just, seeing all the people, and just seeing who's in NXT, the women. All right, so are you trying to tell me that Aaliyah is not better than Lana or Dana Brooke? Like, how long has that woman been in NXT? But you're trying to tell me that she's not a better wrestler than the two of them?
I would say that she's... from what little I've seen of her in the ring, I would think she's superior to either Brooke or Lana.
Yeah, and again, she's not a disparaging thing.
Yeah, she's not great, but... Oof.
No, like Vanessa Bourne got called up last January. Do you remember Vanessa Bourne? Yeah, exactly. She was on NXT, at least, her and Aaliyah, for that matter.
Yes.
Like, are you trying to tell me Dakota Kai can't come up to the main roster right now? Raquel doesn't need her anymore.
Why? Okay, so I kind of understand Ember Moon wanting something of a reboot. Going back down to NXT. Why is Mercedes Martinez in NXT?
I'm still thinking, one, why the hell would you want to be in Retribution? Which we're going to get to.
Oh, I hope so. Then, I forgot about that. Because that is one of the more noteworthy parts of Raw, honestly.
Oh, I didn't forget about that at all. And I think because of her age, which is hilarious because I'm way older than she is, that she may be down there as, like, the player coach.
I have no
confirmation of this. I'm just guessing.
Well, there's that. It could be... I guess part of it... And now I'm putting my Vince cap on here that she's kind of done what she's done. And she is what she is at this point. There isn't a whole lot of changing her.
No.
You know, and I don't know if Vince can really put his stamp on her, per se. So I don't know if, you know, maybe he isn't comfortable with dealing with her for whatever reason.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, and this is always the unspoken part. Look at their champions now, Rhea and Bianca.
Oh, yeah.
They're what, early 20s, I think?
No, well... Oh,
Bianca's in her 30s, right?
Yeah, Bianca's 32... And Rhea's like 24, I think, or something like that.
So, I guess the Bianca may not fit, because she's probably older than Sasha and whatever else, but...
Yeah, she is older than some of her other peers.
I was going to say, well, she looks very young for her age then. And it just seemed like it was like, all right, let's just put the belts on some new younger people. Okay, because you didn't want Rhea Ripley losing to Asuka, but at the same time, it didn't. You know, it's Asuka's never been treated right in the main roster, anyways. We all know that, but
and that's what I fall back on. Like she just, that's why I didn't want to see her lose. Is just she hasn't been treated right on the main roster because she got treated right there for Money in the Bank. And around that time period, and then things just went to hell in a handbasket not too long after that. She got too... they saw the comedy part of her and just it went too hard. Like, that is not a good quality to have as a champion, really.
No. Well, it was funny to us, but it was also like she was just odd. You know, she was just acting odd.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. But as soon as... that's always the thing. The wrestlers are like, don't let Vince see you do something funny, because that's all you're going to be. Look what happened to Tyler Breeze.
Oh.
Now he's back in NXT sometimes. So
him and Fandango get more TV time in NXT than they do on the main roster, that's for sure.
Now, yes. Remember when they were doing Fashion Police all the time?
Oh, yeah.
They were on SmackDown every single week with that stuff.
Yeah, but...
And then just went away.
Yeah, they ran out of... Well, or no, hold on. Did someone get hurt that time? Or was that simply just they kind of ran out of amusing antidotes, and that was the wrap?
I was going to say, I think Fandango got hurt, but I think that was one of the catalysts for them being backstage, too. After a while.
Oh. That was the reason they were back there. Yeah, you could be correct on that.
But, because I remember they had that awful match where they were in disguise the whole time?
Oh, that thing was hilarious.
It's still not good, though. You know what I mean? Like, it's supposed to be...
I don't know. It was kind of impressive that they wrestled in that much ring gear.
Yeah,
maybe I'm marveling at it for reasons that don't necessarily make it a quality match.
Yeah. But that was also, I think, that was the last time they were on TV after that for a while, if I remember right.
Yeah, I don't really remember what happened after that match. I remember that match pretty well.
But... They were facing the Usos, and I think weren't they supposed to be the bad guys? Like the Usos were the good guys? I think. So long ago now.
Yeah, I'm not really remembering on that one.
Oh well.
But they might have flipped everyone because of that gimmick, if that was the case.
It's like, don't be a comedy gimmick. And that's what happened to Asuka.
Yes.
And then, like, it was embarrassing when, I know Charlotte's supposed to be a heel, but NXT Asuka, if Charlotte would have been doing that to her, she would have murdered Charlotte. You know?
Oh.
And here, she just has to take it. Like, it's the most unrealistic garbage. I just don't like it. And let's just, all right. Well, one, we were supposed to get Braun Strowman versus Randy Orton for the first time ever. One, I'm glad it didn't happen. Because two, shouldn't you build that up and promote it if that's the case?
Yes. Yeah. So, if that, I'm surprised that match hasn't happened yet.
I was very surprised, too. So I couldn't believe they gave it away. Or were going to. And they didn't even mention it. Vince must just change his mind.
Uh-oh.
You know? It's just, man. The whole show has no forethought, hindsight, history, nothing. So there's that, whatever. We got a pretty good match with Riddle and Orton.
Yeah, that was a really
Riddle
fun match.
Him. And then we had a bunch of other stuff. And then let's not forget this. We're going to jump right to the tag team match. Never mind all the other shenanigans. Drew and Braun, I almost said B because they didn't, lost to T-Bar and Mace. They ripped their masks off. I thought it was hilarious. Braun was beating Mace with his own mask. I just thought that was funny.
Yeah.
And then the announcers go, oh, we finally get a good look at their face. Well, one, everyone knew who they were. Two, one of them used to be a goddamn announcer. So how do you not sit there and go, where's Dio Madden? That's Dominik Dijakovic. Even though everyone knew that's who that was, how can you let that go? How can you not automatically, as the announcer, go, oh my God, that's Donovan Dijakovic and Dio Madden? Wait, they've been there the whole time? Just give your announcers at least an escape.
There are so many times that is what I'm tweeting out. Like, I feel sorry for the announcers nine times out of ten. Like, I remember being always pissed at the announcers. At this point, I'm like, nah, this has become entirely too systematic.
Yeah.
For it to be the announcer's fault. Like, this is happening way too often for it to just be on their shoulders.
Yeah, it's brutal. It insults the intelligence of your audience as well. Because, one, you're telling them that, oh, no, you're not supposed to remember these guys. Why wouldn't I remember who they are? And I'm not accepting this garbage argument. Well, you know, if you don't watch NXT, you wouldn't know who they were anyways.
Well, and it happened with someone else, though, recently, too, because Dabba Kato comes up to help out Apollo Crews, and all the announcers have got to act like they don't know who the dude is.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, come on, guys. Like, this is...
Yeah, it's like, do you watch your own product?
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago that this guy was on TV, you know? No, just no.
Yeah, I...
You know, they're always trying to sell you on the fact that they're experts on their product and that they do backstage interviews and this, that, and the other thing. And it's just like, hold on, you don't know people that are actually on your roster?
Like, well, technically, they were never part of the Raw or SmackDown roster. I don't care. I just don't care. Well, I remember the whole match with, what was Mia Yim's name? I already forgot.
Reckoning.
Okay. Her mask comes off during the match. And she just goes, no, the hell with it. And the announcers don't once ever say, my God, that's Mia Yim. Why is she doing this? It's not hard. That's literally all you have to say. It's just take responsibility for the fact that you know and go, I wonder why this is happening. It's easy. But no, instead, they think you're an idiot while you're watching this show. No. Don't worry about it. Okay. It's awful. And that stuff was stupid. I'm hoping next week they actually just say, yeah, I'm Madden and I'm Dijakovic or whatever, or Dijak, if they're going to cut it short.
Yeah, I that is the one thing that I guess I honestly mostly took away from that segment was that I'm like, they got rid of them. Like, that's a way for them to get rid of the masks. And that is for the best. Like, I guess if they keep the terrible name, sure, fine, whatever, I guess. Those masks were just goofy. They're like, I don't know how you can't look at what the Fiend mask looked like, and then I know that you're kind of going for a different style with what they were going with there, but... Like, the quality and craftsmanship between those items was a chasm.
Yeah, it looked like a Halloween decoration or Halloween costume.
Yeah.
Like, one you would just get at Walmart, not like a whatever.
you couldn't even go to Halloween Plus or whatever that pops up in your rundown mall.
Ours is Express, I think.
I can't. There are a couple of different ones that pop up in town here, so I was just pulling a name out of a hat.
Yeah, but is that where you guys shopped at? And
but yeah,
I don't like watching shows that just say RNX is fucking stupid. Don't worry about it, and that's how they treat you. I mean, all right.
Yes.
So for another example. Has everyone forgotten Kofi Kingston was the WWE champion? And he loses clean to Elias in 4 minutes? Whatever it was? What? I honestly can't remember the last time Elias pinned anybody. I really can't.
Well, that was one where I'm with you that it seemed out of place, but I'm like, I guess if you're going to build up Elias and Jackson Riker, they need a win at some point.
Yeah.
And New Day is just New Day at this point. Like, they're very creative. They're going to kind of keep things going.
Yeah.
So you need some challengers, but it'd also be nice if the people losing weren't always just the champions, but they don't have any other tag teams right now for those two, you know, for Elias and Riker to beat. To kind of step up to Kofi and Xavier Woods.
Yeah, because they break him up and then get rid of. Was anyone shocked when Tucker got cut? That's not a slam on the man, by the way.
Oh.
But they kept Otis. He was one of the goofy guys running after the 24/7 title, and we've never seen him again. So, you know.
Yep. He would have been perfect for Raw Underground.
But it was funny, though, because did you see someone tweeted at him asking why they broke Heavy Machinery up? And he goes, I have no fucking clue.
it was a good thing for Otis for roughly 3 months.
Yep.
And that's it.
Anytime they break up a tag team and then put them back together with different partners, you know they had no idea what they were doing. They just wanted to break them up. Plain and simple. Just to fuck with them. So.
Yeah, maybe this will shake them up. Yeah. Maybe if you stop doing this, things will work out. How about that, Vince? Listen to one of their ideas. Like, I can't believe, like, what was it? I think I read the one Chelsea Green interview where she said she brought up like 20 ideas. Like, she had to wait some inordinate amount of time to get FaceTime with Vince and then brought up all these ideas. And again, I guess I know they're not all going to be winners, but.
No. That's why we bring a lot of them.
20 seems excessive, you know what I mean? Hold on, what am I trying to get to? Like, but it just seems like something should have stuck. I guess my main point is, like, there's got to be something that's going to stick in that list.
At least, at the very least, go, there's something to build on.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You know? But yeah, I've said this before. Vince does not understand his own business anymore because he's in the business of making money.
Oh,
he's not in the business any longer of being creative. And that happens. There's a shift that happens and fine. But the guy that's in charge of everything is in charge of the most important part, the creative, which drives all of the revenue. He either does not understand anymore or just doesn't have the time to care that he doesn't understand. There's no way around it. Like, Riddle loses to Sheamus, loses to Lashley, beats Randy Orton. Huh? Okay?
Yeah, was there a distraction of some nature?
When?
For Riddle and Orton.
No. No, that was a clean.
The clean pin brigade.
Yeah, well, it was a crucifix roll up. So
yeah,
yeah. So it wasn't like an overwhelming victory, you know. Kind of like going into Thatcher.
You can definitely play back that match, Orton and Riddle. You know, at some point have a different result. Because who did Orton just give a win away to somewhat recently and he ended up getting the win back?
I don't know.
because it was another one of those kind of surprise wins, and it's escaping my brain currently.
Yeah. You know, like, the booking of Riddle is trash. This is a guy that used to be an MMA fighter. So they're always talking about all the punishment he can take and this and this, and he's just a tool behind the scenes. Like, okay? He doesn't even come off as a stoner. He comes off as mentally challenged. He really does.
I'll tell you what. That was one of the few... I thought that his segments this week did not annoy me as much as they have in the past.
Okay.
Like, I felt like he was maybe... I'm like... To me, he felt like he was starting to get a twinge of intelligence to the whole thing, which is needed, to say the least.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay to be a stoner, but to be just a babbling idiot is... sometimes, they don't kind of understand that line of being an idiot or just being goofy funny sometimes. Like, they really miss that line terribly.
And it's like, if you want, like, he met RVD backstage. It's like, wasn't RVD like the quintessential stoner wrestler?
Yes.
That he did his wacky tabacky. I'm saying old terms on purpose. And then went out of the ring and stole a show. Where Riddle acts like a moron instead, like Spicoli, and then loses. Well, why the hell would I get behind that guy?
They handicap people at the knees a lot, and I don't completely understand why.
They don't know what they're doing. There's no way around. The only MVP and Bobby Lashley are a gift that fell in their laps. That couldn't have been on purpose, and I know it couldn't have been on purpose because they split up Hurt Lock, Jesus Christ. The Hurt Business. That was the best thing going on Raw. And they just said, no, we have to get rid of the other two. And Lashley and MVP were like, no. And Vince said, no, this is my decision. They're gone. Cool. So now we get the same two matches back to back. Back to back weeks, I mean.
Yeah. Because, well, that's another one where that's how bad their tag team division is. The Viking Raiders couldn't even come back and squash someone.
Right.
They had to have a somewhat competitive match against Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin.
Yeah.
It's just like, this is not really an ideal return team opponent here. So... Yeah.
The show's a mess. It's not fun. It's boring as hell. I feel bad for the new play-by-play guy, or the lead announcer. Byron Saxton talks more than he ever has. When it should be, I forgot the guy's name.
Adnan Virk.
That's it. Yeah.
I don't know what made them... Like, I'm really interested, actually, in their recent picks for commentary. Because I'm interested to see if they have whatever uniqueness drew the WWE to pick them, if that uniqueness will be slowly beaten out of them like it is every other announcer that they have.
Yeah. Well, the story goes, Vince McMahon's never met the guy.
Okay.
So, again, the guy who's supposed to be in charge of creative decisions, it's his company, his baby, has no clue what's going on. They just hire some announcer guy and send Tom Phillips somewhere else. Or Tom Phillips, excuse me, not Todd. Tom Phillips somewhere else.
Yeah.
Why? We just did. Because we want him on 205 Live and something else. Ooh. What a big step up. Like, Pat McAfee kind of makes sense because he does have his audience. Maybe they'll come and watch on SmackDown.
Oh.
know?
Yeah, but he's another one where I don't know what his audience is because I'm not his audience. But,
no.
You know, he's got to have something. Like, I guess I have enjoyed his when he's done commentary on NXT. But just doing it on the main shows, just like anyone working their gimmick, there is a world of difference between doing it down at NXT and doing it on the main roster.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, I did kind of chuckle, and it's not completely surprising, I guess, that Pat McAfee did not exactly love his first night on SmackDown. But it was also one of those ones where it's just like, I don't know if I felt like it was in the works for a long time or not.
Yeah, you know,
both of these hires seem like it's like, hey, we decided to hire, you know, like we just decided to completely mess with our broadcast crew. And like, that's something that level of shakeup is pretty weird. Like, because they've been doing the, like, pull Tom Phillips off this show and throw Vic there, you know, for NXT stuff. And then, hey, let's flip-flop Corey Graves for Byron Saxton and whoever else happened to be the third mic on Raw. Like, they've done kind of minor moves within the announcing booth, but both of the hires were very interesting because they were just, it felt like, yeah, like, it didn't feel like a glaring need.
No.
Like, as much as I know that I just said that they have the uniqueness beaten out of them, like, for the most part, they're doing their jobs about as well as they can. So it's strange to bring people in just kind of out of the blue.
Yeah, I mean, no clue that was coming. Like, just up or out. Like, okay. Now, I don't understand anything WWE does. Like, honestly. Look at where they're at financially. It is incredible.
Oh.
For the quality of product being put out, the fact that this company keeps making money hand over fist is incredible. Because they do a million views on a video. Excuse me, a million views on a video every once in a while on YouTube. Someone goes, oh, they're still popular. No, they're fucking not. Seriously, ask your parents. Do they know who Roman Reigns is? We're going to do the parent test. They have no clue. They don't know who the hell Cesaro is. Seth Rollins. None of these guys. None of these guys are household names. They have, like the only way they were able to get into the lexicon of pop culture again is Bad Bunny was around.
No.
Yes, Bad Bunny. Yeah, yeah. For as many times I heard his name, I think I'd be able to remember it right off the bat. But it's like, no one cares about wrestling, except wrestling fans.
Yeah, but I mean, there still is a weirdly vocal minority of wrestling fans that still even get on. They have enough stuff, like, you know, like the interplay with George Kittle from the San Francisco 49ers, like, they still get enough celebrity appearances, but I'll definitely agree with you in and of the fact that their quality of entertainment has not been good for a significant amount of time at this point.
Yeah, I mean, just think about like, all right, remember we used to talk about The Walking Dead all the time?
Yeah.
If your quality diminishes, people stop watching. You lose money. The Walking Dead has lost viewers like crazy. They do not make as much money as they used to. All of their other video, not videos. What am I looking for? Like the spinoffs. They're supposed to do those three Rick movies. Whatever happened to those? Nothing, because they ruined the quality of their show, and they are suffering for it. Where wrestling ruins the quality of the shows, loses viewers hand over fist. I said that twice in the same show. That's good. And yet they're making more money, financially secure for what, 3-4 years at least, with a guarantee, what, $500 million a year from Peacock or something.
Yeah, and I mean, it's live programming is just completely wild right now, because people still want you to watch stuff on time. Like, I was just listening to the AIW podcast today, and they're going, hey, you know, it's great if you watch us on demand, but watch it live on IWTV. Like, it's better for us. You know, like, even at that level, you know what I mean? Like, the WWE is obviously a completely different entity. But, you know, if even the little guys are going, hey, you know, hey, we know this is only an app and a streaming service, but it helps us to be viewed live. Like, live is just, it is really where everything is right now. Like, the WWE covers it. Like, I mean, how many people try to watch these shows and tweet about them live? We've all talked about it in some form. Like, there is wrestling on every night of the week, basically, now. If you want to watch it. Like, and that's just pretty much on cable TV. You know?
Yeah, well, when is MLW going to be on Vice? Do you remember?
I don't know when they're hopping on Vice.
Okay, I was just curious.
I saw the announcement, but honestly didn't read that much more into it because, yeah, again, like, can I fit it in necessarily? Like, again, good for them, but can I fit it in?
I'm looking it up. I'm just curious what day.
Because there's still only so much stuff that I personally that I want to watch on YouTube. Anything. Like, I have definitely taken advantage of YouTube more these days and viewing different shows and streams and things of that nature. But I still watch most of my stuff on cable. I'm still a boomer or something. Yeah. Is that what I should be called these days, I think?
No, I don't know.
I know I'm not, actually, but...
No, I watch plenty of stuff on YouTube. Wrestling, whatever wrestling I can find, I'll watch, but... It's just, it's just, whatever, like, there's so much. So, all right, here we go. Sorry, I was trying to find it. Let's see. Wow, Figure 4 has how many fucking ads can you put on one screen that will slow my browser down? God damn, Dave, how much money do you need? It says coming this spring. Weekly show. We'll start off with archive content. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, it'll continue showing programming on the BN Sports as well. Okay. No date set. Okay. So, but... whatever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so all of that for... no, nothing.
So. Oh, boy.
No, man. I mean, there's not much to say. I mean, Raw's straight garbage. I feel bad for all the talent on there. I wish I had more gumption to watch SmackDown more often, but, like, my interest in WWE proper is so... sadly so fallen far, like, or so far fallen. It sucks. And I think my anger just stems from watching, like, that documentary, just seeing the crowds, seeing how hot everyone was. You see all the old wrestlers, like, oh my God, everyone had something going on. Now, I'm not going to talk about, like, the quality of the shows or content, because everyone wants to look back with, you know,
rose-colored glasses.
Yeah. So I'm sure some of it sucks. But,
right.
Yeah. But it was the one sad part about it was they were talking about his time at ECW, and they kept showing people, like, they kept showing ECW footage.
Uh-huh.
And I kept going, he's dead. He's dead. She's dead. He's dead. I was like, oh, God. So.
Yeah.
That's the not fun part.
Not a good time period. Yeah.
I mean, it was, for the time, that stuff was awesome.
Yeah, but it did not do anyone well. The behind the scenes stuff probably caught up to them more than the in ring stuff.
Yeah, it's like, you know, New Jack was a fun person to watch, a fun wrestler to watch. Him going piggin' or whatever he said he was doing. I got me a fat white girl, whatever he said after the show at one time. Like, it's funny, like, we're laughing about it, right? But
yeah.
The guy's a piece of shit. I mean, him as a human being, he tried killing a wrestler. So, it's just like, man, I don't know. It's a hard thing to get around. And then you see, like, how broken down everybody is from that, from being in there, who didn't get out. And it's like, oh boy, it's rough. So, whatever. But, and that's all I really got to say this week, man. There's nothing. Like,
okie doke. Well, no reason to overstay our welcome. I'll tell you what, I had a classic that the wife bought for reasons. Commodore Perry IPA from Great Lakes. Not sure the last time I've had a Great Lakes beer. It's been quite some time. And it's probably been even longer since I've had one of the earlier IPAs, honestly, that I've consumed. And I guess I forgot that it's 7.7% alcohol, so it's pretty hefty in the ABV department. 70 IBUs, and you know, they say bold and balanced, and yeah, like, there's a little bit of everything in there, a little bit of pininess, a little bit of citrusiness. It's a pretty tasty, nice IPA. So, Great Lakes, that's one that people might actually be able to get, not just in the great state of Ohio. So, I definitely know that it's distributed in Pennsylvania and West Virginia, and I would assume Kentucky and Virginia. But, yeah, take
they
a look out
way
for
down
it.
Here a little bit. Yeah. We got whatever their holiday one is.
Oh, Christmas Ale.
Yeah. Yeah, she likes that one.
Yeah, so. That is pretty delicious. I always think it's a little too high on the Christmas scale for my liking, but I also do find it to be tasty. So, alrighty, grandkids, that's my bell time beer for this very show. I'm at Trango11. That is at Granny Mays. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. And download us at places like Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and any of your fine podcast apps. Have a good night.